Hi. What's going on?
Gonna lay it all out for
me? Lay it all out? Well, we're almost finished with the board. We'll be done with the board today, so.
John, it's number five, quarterback or non-quarterback, as Case Keenum.
We will take the best player
already
for the that's best for the Denver Broncos, whoever's there.
Regardless of position.
Yep.
How important is it that you've met and had discussions with players before you make your minds up on that decision?
Well, I mean, it's always nice to get to know them as well as we can. Obviously, in Indy, we get 15 minutes with them, and so that's not a lot of time. So, you know, and then we get an opportunity to bring 30 kids in and get a chance to see what they know, get to know them a little bit, but also get them on the board and see what kind of football knowledge they have. And so, you know, that's always very helpful.
If you haven't met with them in Indy and you haven't met with them here at the facility, I'm sure it doesn't rule them out, but does it sort of put them down a little bit in terms of where they fit?
Well, I mean, our scouts do such a great job of getting character and background, and when they go into the schools and talk to the coaches and the people that they talk to. So they do a great job, so we feel pretty good about you know, what are the stuff that our scouts said. What we do a lot of times with the 30s, we bring in and it can kind of confirm what we're hearing one way or the other. So, but our scouts do a tremendous job. And so, that's what we really rely on. If they haven't been here. I'm open to trading.
What's your criteria to move on?
We're going to go through that next year, like I said, next week. I haven't got to. We're getting through the board, and so we'll start going through scenarios probably starting on Monday and looking into that. And so, you know, at that point in time, we'll look at all the different options. We got to see what's going to, you know, if we're going to move back, we got to go back and look and say, okay, what do we think we're going to get if we move back, right? So we got to go through every different scenario. If we move up, what's it going to cost us to move up, and is it worth it to move up? So all those scenarios we'll start working on Monday.
How do you balance the idea? I know you want to rebound from last year. It was a humbling season for you. How do you balance that desire with the fifth pick in terms of getting a guy that maybe could come in and start the jump?
I mean, that's part of the, you know, that's part of my job is to figure out what's best for the organization, not only now but also long-term. And so, you know, going through all those situations and, again, you know, going through all the scenarios, once I get through all the scenarios and we get through all those different scenarios out of those, we'll try to figure out what's the best one.
John, obviously you guys released the statement when you released C.J. Anderson, but can you talk about what went into that decision to release him?
Well, I'm not going to get into what we thought of about that decision and letting him go. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of different things that go into that. But, you know, CJ was a great player for us and had a great year last year and was a guy that did a lot of things, not only for us as a football team, but in the community. And so, you know, that's part of football. It's always tough to have to make those type of decisions. But, you know, there's a lot of different things that go into when you make a decision on a player like CJ. There's a lot of things that go into that decision.
John, you hear about how this draft is deep in different positions. Then you also look at there's 106 players that are special or that are coming in early is what the number is. It's record. Does that make it so it's deeper, like that it's really two first rounds of picks? How does that?
I mean, I think it's always determined. You never know what juniors are going to come in each year. And so that when the juniors come in, kind of make it whether it's a deep draft or not. So that junior class is always important because it's because there's always a lot of good players that come in with the kids that declare. So, you know, this is a draft that is deep in certain positions. It's a little thinner than in a lot of positions than more so this year than in the past. And so, you know. But the juniors always add to the depth of the draft, without a doubt. And to a lot of the guys that, you know, or the top draft picks are usually a lot of juniors.
Speaking of depth, John, when you're putting together these scenarios, do you ever look at next year's class of, let's say, quarterbacks to compare to this year's class?
We try to do that, you know, and try to figure out what next year's draft's going to look like. It's hard enough getting through all the evaluation of the kids this year. But we'll have a general idea. Overview of, you know, who's going to be out next year, but it's not real depth, real deep.
Quarterbacks that you have looked at and spent time with, have you been able to use the information to narrow it down at least, so where you know, okay, there's a certain amount that yes, they fit us if they're available, if they're the best player, and a couple of guys that they're just not the right mix.
Yeah, I mean, we've done that. We've stacked them and got them in order and how we think that they fit and who fits us and who doesn't. So, yeah, we've been through that process. We do that process with every position. And so where they fit into our football team and are they a fit for us? And so even as we stack the board, we stack them talent-wise, but also, you know, is it a fit for us?
So there are some guys who have been ruled out then, logically, about that.
Sure, but it's usually not the guys at the top of the board. I mean, you know, usually there's character issues and things that get ruled out down the bottom of the board. Medical will be another issue that we'll cover on Monday that will eliminate guys from the board depending on where they are, medical-wise. So, but they're, you know, and we eliminate guys as we go, but usually the top of the board guys don't get eliminated.
John, where do you think your roster is thinnest, and how does your draft fit those needs?
Well, I mean, I hate to tell you where I think that our, because I don't like giving ideas of what we believe and where our roster is, and so those are type of things that I don't like to make comments on. But we feel like there's a lot of good football players that we'll be able to find, players that'll help us. I think, you know, having the picks that we have, having 8 picks in the first 5 rounds, I think is helpful too. So gives us a lot of options there.
Shane Ray on the 5th-year option. Have you made that decision?
We haven't made a decision yet. We're still considering that, so we'll take a look at that. And
picking ahead of you, some of them being quarterbacks, that doesn't seem to be, at this point, 10 or a week out, that we don't really know who's going on. How much uncertainty is there? How much confidence do you have in how...
Well, if you don't know, how am I going to know? Right.
So
if you guys don't know, I don't know. So it's like, you know.
When you look at the 4 picks ahead of you, the teams, obviously, the big one is 2 of those. Are you trying to figure out which quarterbacks might be there at 5? What those scenarios, how much?
Those are all scenarios that we go through. So we'll look at every different scenario and see how it falls. And obviously there's going to be, you know, once we look at them, there's going to be ones we like better than others. And, you know, all those different scenarios are going to lead us all to think different directions as far as whether to go up, back, stay where we are. But ultimately, you know, it's really going to probably come down to draft day. See what happens. Unless you guys tell me what they're going to do in front of me. And then I'll be able to tell you guys. I'll have the reaction to it. So if you guys get any insight, let me know.
You have a history of drafting some big, athletic, tall quarterbacks. Having met Baker Mayfield face-to-face, how short is he?
He's fine. Okay. He's fine.
And is he tall enough to compete in the NFL?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think... You know, when you look at the guys that have had success that are his height and even a little bit shorter, I think Russell's a little bit shorter than Baker. So, I mean, I think that, what he's done and the numbers he's put up and success he's had the last 3 years at Oklahoma, I think he's overcome the size issue.
John, last year's draft class included 2 guys that didn't play, you know, Chad and Jake, Carlos. What's your expectations of those guys? You know, where does their health stand? And does that factor into your plans for next week?
Well, we're hoping that they can come and help us this year. Obviously, with Carlos getting hurt in, I think it was mini camp or training camp, and so he was redshirted. You know, we didn't know when Jake was going to come back, and so, you know, then, you know, DeMarcus lost with some weight to move outside, and so I had to go back up to go back inside. So, yeah, our expectations that, that class participates a lot more this year than it did last year, and at least that's the hope. So Jake seems to be running around in good shape. He's been passed on his physical, and so, we have expectations that they'll come in and help us.
John, can you explain why you gave Chris Harris Jr. extra incentives in his contract this year?
He deserved it.
From a comfort standpoint?
I mean, he did. I mean, he's had a lot of – he's done a great job for us, and so we thought that, it was the right thing for us to do on behalf of Chris and the way that he's played and the things that he's done, and not only on the field but off the field. So we're glad to be able to, to come to an agreement and incentivize him.
John,
not that he needs it, but, hopefully he reaches them all too.
Based on your evaluation of this draft class and recent trends, where do you think is the best spot to maybe draft a running back? Is it maybe safer to wait until later rounds, just being those guys have been historically productive?
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep running back class, as I'm sure you've heard. So, again, that goes back into seeing how the board goes at that point in time and where everything is. It's hard to predict, where they're going to end up. But, it is a deep class, and so we feel good about the fact that we'll be able to get a good one.
You hear about self-scouting in terms of the coaching team on field side. Is there some of that kind of that goes on looking at what you've done in the draft over the last few years, saying, okay, we got this right, we may have missed on this, and going from that going ahead?
Well, I mean, what we try to do is you try to learn from the mistakes that you make, you know, and so obviously drafting is not a, you know, it's tough because there's so many factors that go into it, and so many hidden things that you really can't see that you hope that come out, and players and background and character that you find that they're going to enable these players to come and make the step to the NFL and have successful careers. And so we're always evaluating ourselves and looking at, you know, guys that we've drafted that have been successful and look at their numbers that way and go back and look at the reports that, you know, 3 or 4 years later to see if there's anything that we missed. And so, you know, we continue to try to get better at it.
On draft night, guys, I was talking about getting the call from yourself. What is that moment like for you, and how much does it mean to welcome these guys to the team?
I mean, it's always fun to hear, because sometimes they talk and sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes they're in shock and don't have any idea they're coming here. And so the response varies greatly each time you talk to different, you know, a different person. But it's always fun because they're excited about it. And, you know, obviously, you know, they go through a lot, starting at the combine and then everything they're put through in the process of, you know, finally getting to draft day, that they're excited to finally know where they're going.
So a week out, do you do hypothetical drafts then with your staff to get a feeling of where it might fall? How many people are involved in that?
Well, we'll have the whole scouting staff involved in it. Okay. And so we'll get everybody involved, and you know, and then certain guys, you know, each guy will get two or three teams and then, you know, learn about that team and try to figure out what those needs are of that team. And so, you know, that way we can do it 3 or 4 times. Sometimes we get all the way to the bottom through the third round, you know, and it just helps us give us a better idea who may or may not be there. And then, you know, at least you're ready for as many different possibilities as you can be.
If you already made your calls, then the teams, you know, would might be open to moving around. Is that done pre-draft rather than in the 10, 15 minutes of draft day?
No, it'll be done next week. You know, now is a little bit early. Everyone's still kind of setting their board and going through that. So, I mean, all that talk kind of starts next week.
John, with a larger role for Gary Kubiak in the scouting staff, how has his influence kind of been a little bit different or helpful putting together this year's draft?
Well, I mean, Gary is a very good evaluator, and so his suggestions and views are very important, and so those go into the pot that we all listen, that I listen to, and we chat about each different player and where we think he fits on the board, and then we eventually come to an agreement that once we get that board set, does everybody agree that, you know, this is the way that this position should be set, and, you know, he's part of that decision.
His Vance's role in the process from this year?
It's the same. I mean, he has a voice, and we talk about different positions. Now, obviously, you know, you look at different positions. Vance has probably got, you know, a little more input on the defensive side because that's kind of what he's used to coaching and you know, defensive backs, being a defensive back coach. And so, you know, you kind of go to areas of expertise and draw from that.
John, I'm getting a question from Brandon Stokely. John, you said at the Senior Bowl that you believe for a young quarterback to develop, he has to play. Could your mind be changed that you could take a quarterback at 5 and develop him behind Case Keenum?
Yeah. I mean, Case is our starter. So we'll cross that road when we get there. But, you know, obviously I think that, you know, and in every situation for young quarterbacks is different. I think it's different in today's world. And the fact that it depends on what kind of football team those young guys step onto, too. They're thrown out there. The expectations are for them to come out and play early, too. So,
tell Stokely that.
You can only learn so much about a kid in a 15-minute interview or even a one-day visit. So when you hear or read stories about personalities or behavior of guys like a Mayfield or a Rosen, how much does that scare you, if at all?
Well, I mean, I think when you hear those, you know, when you have them in on a visit, you get to know them, you know, better. You know, you still don't get to know them really well, but you get to know them better. And I think you kind of find out what kind of, you know, you learn about the personality. So those type of things don't scare me until we finally – I don't jump to conclusions that they're true. So I draw my own conclusions. So no matter what's been said out there, I try to draw my own conclusions and you know, get as many – viewpoints on a kid from, you know, but the bottom line is I got to draw from my own and how the feel I get from them. And because so many times a lot of people look at different people different ways. And so it's hard to draw from too many different opinions until you get around them and get a feel for them yourself.
About the Big Four quarterbacks, do you have a consensus on upstairs on 1, 2, 3, or 4? Or is it something where this guy likes this quarterback, this guy likes that? Do you have...
Not yet. Not yet. You know, we'll still continue to talk about that. You know, it's like anything. You can go around a room and probably get 4 or 5 different opinions on how they should be stacked. But the bottom line is where the, you know, once you come to a consensus of maybe where the first and second ones are, then, you know, if you have that consensus, then you're doing pretty good.
I mean, regardless of consensus, they'll be the guy you like. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's my job, right? I got to break the ties, ultimately it's going to it'll be mine.
You got a few more for John?
You and Kubiak have known each other for so long, both played quarterback. Do the two of you value different things on a quarterback? How much differently do you look at quarterbacks, the two of you?
You know, I haven't actually asked that question to Gary. I mean, I think that, you know, everybody, their play style, if they've played quarterback before, I think their play style is going to draw them to guys that are more their play style type, right? So, I mean, I think that's natural. But then, you know, with Gary being a coach, he also likes, you know, he knows what he likes in a guy that how he can coach him and how he would fit into his system when he was running the system because it was his offense. And so, it's probably much easier for him to pick them and rank them that way, knowing that he's going into his offense rather than going into Billy Musgrave's. But, you know, and now we're looking at the fact, okay, which guy, number one, is going to fit best in Billy's, but also realize that, you know, we've got to have the good people around him, too, to give him the best opportunity to be successful.
Okay, so if I say you're a playmaker and you got a big arm, is that what you're more drawn to or no?
I was a lot more 6 or 7 years ago than we had Peyton, right? So Peyton was more the cerebral type, right? And so, I mean, I've learned a lot over the last, since I've been doing this job, as far as, you know, what certain quarterbacks have success and what it takes. The bottom line is I still believe that one thing is you got to be able to win it from the pocket, no matter what you do. I think the one thing that I've learned is as a quarterback, you got to be able to win it from the pocket. And you can win games, but you can't win championships unless you have the ability to win it from the pocket. But then if you can get out and move around and create and do those type of things, that's an added bonus.
Do you have more than 4 quarterbacks in the first round?
No. No.
So final two, Arnie, then Nikki.
You've often talked about how your goal is to plug holes in free agency so that you can go into the draft and not reach and pick the best players. How do you think this year's crop of free agents fit that role? What do you think of Cravens and Bill Deere, some of the guys?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think we've had it's been a good offseason for us. I think we've been able to add in the right areas with Val Deere coming in and the veteran and, you know, fills that need at right tackle for us. And so I think, you know, he's been – you know, big get for us. Cravens, I think, is a guy that is young and a playmaking guy that can come in and compete and gives us a lot of depth at safety and compete at safety. And so, you know, Clint McDonald in the defensive line, I think, is a good add for us. He's a good kid. And so you never have enough inside guys. You know, we need inside pass rushers on the defensive line. So I think McDonald will be able to help us there. I'm thinking the corner I'm lost, and I've got the
Tremaine Brock,
I think, is a guy that we really liked a couple years ago. And he's a guy with experience and explosive and still can really play. So, you know, he'll come in and compete, you know, so he gives us some depth at corner. So, you know, I'm excited about the fact of the guys that we added some good guys. And so we don't – obviously we have needs going in the draft, but I don't think it's going to cause us to reach And again, going back to our young guys that we had last year that didn't play that we drafted last year, and then the guys that did play have them step up a little bit too. So yeah, we feel pretty good about where we are. I forgot Case, but obviously I took that one for granted. But you know, I think that his presence and the type of person he is and the leadership that we're going to get out of that position now is going to be huge.
Just one quick follow up. Akib said he appreciated the way you kind of did right by him in. in his goodbye, you know, can you just talk about what
well, I like Akiva. He did a lot of great things for us, and you know, it was a definite personality and a lot of, you know, caused a lot of issues one way or the other. Not necessarily good or bad, but, you know, exciting to have him around. But, you know, he's a big part of our Super Bowl teams, and so I was glad that it was able to work out. And there's only certain teams that, you know, he really wanted to go to. And fortunately, those teams wanted him too, and so we were able to get something done there. So I know that he'll feel comfortable playing for Wade out there and knows that system very well.
Last one, Nikki.
The uncertainty over Adam Gass's situation, does that affect how you approach the draft?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, we're still monitoring that situation, and we'll see how everything falls. Obviously, it's a concern. You know, we'd like to have it resolved now, but, you know, again, anytime you have something going on like that that's out there, you got to take it into consideration.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right.